This night that the Lord's given us, we're going to look at a concept from Scripture on our gifts and His glory. And as we do that, move into something, if we're not careful, we can move away from the Lord. If we're not investing in Him and spending time with Him. And that song, Prone to Wonder, Come Thy Fount, is such a powerful song. And many of you probably know that many of our hymns were written by preachers. Did you know that? Matter of fact, lots of them. And this one was. His name was Robert Roberts. He wrote the song, and he did exactly in his life what the song talked about. He wandered. He drifted away. And one day he got on a train, and he sat down in seats where the seats faced one another. And a young lady was sitting there, and she said, after they got going a little bit, she says, I know you. And he said, you do? And she said, yes, you're Robert Roberts, aren't you? And he said, I am. And he said, you wrote the song, Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing. And he said, I did. And she said, that song has been such a meaning, has such meaning to me and been such powerful things in my life. I just praise the Lord for the fact that you wrote that song. And God used that moment to draw Robert Roberts back to where he was supposed to be. You never know how God's going to work and what God's going to do. Here's a man who wrote a song, Prone to Wonder, and he did. But then he came back unto the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 gives us some great insight. And before we get there, though, I want to just share a couple of other verses with you again, but that's going to be our main text when we come to it. Our gifts, His glory. We have a gift. You're here tonight. You're a believer. You have a gift of the Spirit. God endowed that to you when you became a Christian, became a part of your life. You didn't beg for it. You didn't ask for it. You weren't given it by merit or anything. But in Acts 2:38, so the Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my, you receive the power. Ephesians 1:13, the Spirit comes upon you and its Spirit is in you till the end. And in Ephesians 4:30, it talks about it sealed in you to the day of redemption. When you were saved, you received the Spirit. And when you received the Spirit, you received a gift from the Lord. And that gift is a spiritual gift that what we're going to discover tonight and what we already know, but maybe reminded that He wants that gift employed by you in the church of Jesus Christ. He wants you to use it for His glory. If you're a follower of the Lord, Jesus, if you've been saved, if you're in Christ, you have a spiritual gift given to you by the Holy Spirit. There are sometimes they're called, if you go back to Romans chapter 12, you look at it, verses 4 through 7, I believe it is, you look at it, and they're what we call motivational gifts. This is what drives you. This is what prompts you to do what you do. Now, we struggle with this word, and it's the word prophet in today's time. Some saying there is no such thing, but the New Testament says there is. Now, that's not some guy that tells what's going to happen, or like Jane Dixon, who thought she was a prophetess but was not, and telling what's going to happen 5 years out. A simple gift of proclaiming is what the word means. It's just forth with the word is what it's talking about. That's my gift. But out of that gift, the Lord wants to do some other things. He wants me at times, if I am growing the way I should be and continuing the journey, and I will assure you at 71, I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still gathering data, Brother Avery, and it's good. Because if you don't, you become dry, cynical, and possibly senile. I don't want to do that. I want to go for the Lord as long as I can for His glory, but keeping my mind, my heart fresh in the Lord. That's what I want to do. But this motivational gift, so it grows and it matures, and in that, as your gift grows, you should manifest all the gifts at one time. Many times people have said to me, well, you're a teacher by gift. No, I'm not. I'm a prophet by gift. But I love to teach. I need to serve. The hardest gift for me to demonstrate in my life is mercy. I'm not a mercy person. I just think if you're sick and you're in the hospital or whatever your problem is, you need to get right with God and get over it and go on. You know, that's kind of my theory. I've learned to look past that. Also, the prophet is the black and white guy. He sees everything black and white. Talked about that last time I preached a little bit. And I don't know what Michael's gift is, but if he's mercy or if he's servant, then he's going to have some gray area in his life. For me, I don't. I'm black and white. That's okay for you to have it, Michael. That's fine. You can do that. And I'll give you ground for that. Now, my wife is here tonight, and she will testify to the fact there was a day I would not do that. I thought everybody ought to see it black and white just like me. But they don't. And that's okay because the gifts are different for a purpose. Every believer has one of these gifts. As we grow, we will manifest these gifts. Our motivation for ministry comes out of our gift. And God wants all of us involved in ministry. Is that right? We're to be serving, not just here, but in other places like these that are going out. I've had the privilege to be in Brazil. I've had the privilege to be in Honduras. I've had the privilege to be in Mexico and Alaska and Germany. And there's nothing like a mission trip to really change your life and find out who you are and where you're going and what you're doing. It just makes a difference in your life, especially when you go into Brazil and you're in São Paulo and you go into the slums and see there and people living in cardboard boxes, which some of you have been, know exactly what I'm talking about. It's terrible, but it changes your life. It gives you a new appreciation for life. It gives you a new appreciation for what you have and what Christ has given you. Paul states in Romans 12 and verse 8 that our gifts differ. They may be the same gift, because some of you in this room have the gift of prophet, but they differ. In other words, my personality is not your personality. How the Lord's going to use my gift may not be how he's going to use your gift, though we have the same gift, because he can use you to minister to someone I might not be able to accomplish just because of their giftedness and yours. You understand what I'm saying? They differ. The word literally means unique. From the original text, it means it's a unique gift to you. This doesn't mean, listen to it very carefully, it doesn't mean that your gift is more important than mine or mine's important than yours. There's no special people. We are all special according to 1 Peter also, but we're not special in the sense that we have a gift that's superior to someone else. You understand what I'm saying? This is the level playing field, from my understanding, where it's a level playing field, and that's how we're to function and operate. God's gifts to us, he gives them to us. They're grace gifts. Mark that down. They are grace gifts. You didn't do anything to earn it. They're given by him. Now, watch this. They're given to him, to you, by him, for his glory. When you exercise your gift and use it, you're doing it for his glory, not to draw attention to yourself. I make a statement here, and my pastor can feel free to correct me, but most preachers that I know of deal with an issue of kind of maybe a little pride every now and then. We have to battle that. David says, no. He's kidding. But early on in ministry, I wanted to be successful. You know what I'm saying? I want to be successful. I want to be somebody. And then all of a sudden, I discover that I am somebody because I'm in the body of Christ. And that makes me somebody with the gift he's given me. I am not special. As a call preacher who does what he's been doing for 45 years, I am not special because of that. I am what I am, and I'm doing what God's called me to do. And all of us, that's what he wants us to do, is not think of ourselves as something important, but as servants unto him, obeying him, honoring him with the gift that he's given us. It's not given on the basis of merit, but by the discretion of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. As he wills. I've known people who prayed for certain gifts. No, you don't have to pray for them. God will endow them to you and give them to you if that's what he wants for your life. He will do that. And when you were saved, please remember this, you were given a spiritual gift. Here's the question as we move forward in the message. I want to plant it now and come back and put a little water on it maybe. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your gift? Are you using it for his glory and for his honor? Third thing, why spiritual gifts? Why do we have them? Well, let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 7, but our text is really just verse 10 and 11. The end of all things is at hand, says Peter. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Watch the word. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks, oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So why do we have the gift? To serve one another, first thing. To serve one another. Here's the other question. Who are you serving? How are you serving? Where are you serving? That's a question we all must answer. When I moved down here from Dallas, North Dallas, Carrollton, where I'd been for 26 years, pastored a church into my 13th year and spent 14 years as a director of missions, I didn't know many people. Judy asked me, she said, how's this going to work for you? I know you. You've got to be doing something in the kingdom work. You've got to be preaching. You've got to be teaching. You have to be doing something. And I said, you know the answer to that as well as I do. Same God is in Houston, it's in Dallas. And he'll do what he wants to with you wherever you go if you're willing to pack up and go. The key is, are we willing to go? If we know the Lord and we're in him, we're willing to go somewhere and take our gift with us and use it for his glory in kingdom work. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. If that's the heart of our Savior, it should be the heart of the children. Amen? It should be what we're doing in life. We're doing what Christ did. We're serving. And to give his life as a ransom for many. The word ransom there is an interesting word from the original text. It means a price paid for a slave who is then set free by the one who bought him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Do you know the verse? Do you not know that you have been bought with a price? Your life is not your own. What does that mean? It means you're not your own. It means he bought you. We sing the song, Redeemed How I Love To. Redeemed by the. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be purchased in, from, and out of the slave market of sin. When you got saved, you were a sinner. Amen. Doesn't matter if you were 6 years old or 60 years old, you were a sinner. And God came along and redeemed you. He bought you. He purchased you. Now I'm going to use my friend Mel down here as an example. I said, Mel, did you buy those shoes? I've used this before, but I'm going to use it again. You bought them. Your shoes. You going to go home tonight and take them off and put them in the closet, or you going to leave them in the living room? May, okay. But wherever you leave them, they're not going to move, are they? They're not going to argue with you about where you go or shine them or don't shine them or clean them up or don't. They're not going to argue. They're just your shoes, right? When God saved you, he bought you with a price. We are his. And what he wants to do with Ed Etheridge in the days I have left is his business, not mine. It's not my business. I just want to serve him and honor him and glorify him. And if he chooses to say, you're done, that's fine. I'm done. But please, Lord, when I'm done, get me out of here. I don't want to stick around, okay? I really don't. Bought in the marketplace to purchase. He purchased you from a place, a sin place. Gave you a new life, a new purpose, a new direction. And he wants you to live that out for his glory and to employ your gift, to use it for his glory and honor. At our redemption, a spiritual gift was received. Verse 4. Go back to it if you would, please. He says, whoever speaks as one, or as each who has received a gift, use it to do what? Serve one another. Use it to serve one another. The word serve here is an interesting word. And the root word from it literally means to kick up the dust. To kick up the dust. In other words, to move in haste, to do the work of the ministry. Be diligent about what God has for you to do. And every one of us have an ability and a ministry that God's given us that he wants us to do right here at Champion Forest Baptist Church and also to the uttermost parts of the earth, just like these people who are going to do. They're taking their gifts and their ability, and they're going to go and honor God with it in a place far away. What is the Lord? This is the hard question. What has the Lord called you to do that you're not doing? Where has he asked you to serve that you're saying, Lord, I can't? Hold on to that question because we're about to come to something that will help you, okay? Now, when he says serve, this literally means he gave you a gift which was a past tense thing, right? That's past tense. But when he comes to you and you serve, that's a present tense. He wants you constantly, consistently serving the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And there's plenty to do here at Champion Forest. I've just been here a short time, and I'm thinking, good night. There's a lot going on here. But it's good stuff. But all of us, to make it happen the way it needs to happen and to see it be more than what it is, employ our gift for the glory of God and serve Him. I've said this before, and this is not a political statement, but God's given us great leadership here. One of these days, maybe Brother David will give me some time, and I'll just share with you where I've been and what I've seen. This is a glorious place, folks, I'm telling you. Because I've been some place where there was no glory. It was hard. It was difficult. We argued about Bible school. We argued about ministry. We argued about vacuum cleaners. That's the truth. My wife is sitting here. First church we were in, they were trying to decide to buy a Hoover or Eureka. Here I am, my first church, about my sixth business meeting. I'm thinking, what? Are you kidding me? And finally I asked this question. I don't know where this came. This came from the Lord. I said, can I ask a question? Well, sure, you're the pastor. I said, is anybody in the room a vacuum cleaner expert? Well, the answer to that question was no. And I said, okay, can we give Bud Harmon, our custodian, free reign to go down to Grand Prairie Vac and Vacuum or whatever it was and buy a vacuum cleaner that fit the needs of this church and authorize him to spend up to $150? Well, that's a good idea. Can I tell you something about some things at little churches and some things like that some things don't matter. What matters is kingdom work. What matters is reaching people for Christ. What matters is all those little children in Bible school that came to know the Lord, and now it's our job with your help to cultivate them, grow them. The easy part's done. Now that the work starts in discipleship, to serve, kick up the dust, to move in haste. And he says, then look what he says in the verse. He said, serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. What is a steward? House manager is the word. He manages. So what's he saying to us? He's saying, take the gift I've given you and manage it and let me develop it in you that I might use you effectively in kingdom work. House manager. As we employ our spiritual gift, the church, the body of Christ is strengthened and we grow in grace. What are we doing when we do that? We're demonstrating who we are. We're demonstrating that salvation we say we have, we're actually putting it to work. We're not working to get it, but we're working out our salvation, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. We're to do that. We need to show the world who we are, and we need to show them in love and grace and mercy and employ those gifts even to them. A German poet by the name of Heinrich Heine said this, show me that you're redeemed, show me your redeemed life, and I might be inclined to give consideration to your Redeemer. The world needs to see, not just the guy sitting on the row with you, right? The world needs to see that we are committed to this thing. I don't know where it resonated with you or not, but what Pastor David said on Sunday regarding that United States only being 40 years behind England. I mean, that stirred me. I'm thinking, wow, we got to go to work. But maybe, you think some of us as Baptists have the Maynard G. Krebs syndrome? Said, who is Maynard G. Krebs? Well, he was on a television program called Dobie Gillis, and every time they said work, he would say, work, and run off into the woods and hide. The Lord's got something for you to do. Can I tell you this? I've told you this before real quick. But for 9 years, church, I said no. No. But you know what I figured out? Yes, Lord, sounds much better than no. Does it not? So however He wants to use you, let Him do that. Listen carefully. As we employ our spiritual gift, the church, the body of Christ, is strengthened, and we grow in grace. To not use your gift weakens the fellowship. Champion Forest can be more than what she is as you and I serve the body and the world. with our gifts. All believers have a gift. Remember that. At least one, which must be put to work. That's exactly what the scripture says. Look what he says. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Let me say something. That is not a suggestion. That is a present tense rendering, which means you serve over and over and over and over and over again. I never dreamed when I moved to Houston, Texas, to finish my story a while ago, that God would give me such an opportunity as this. Undeserving as it is, I am thrilled to be here. And I share with you, it's an honor and a privilege to continue doing what God called me to do when I was 17 years old, and maybe he's just giving me this extra ground to make up for the time lost in those 9 years. Are you losing any time? The one thing we do not know is what tomorrow holds, do we? And then he says he gives a variety of gifts. Look what he says. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Varied grace, variety. The word can also translate manifold. And the word manifold, the word variety, literally translates multicolored. It's like if you looked at a rainbow and saw all the colors in it, you look at the church and you see all the various gifts. And when those gifts are functional and operative, it makes the church something special. It makes it unique within itself when people are doing that. Manifold, varied, multi or many covered. No, again, no superior gifts. Again, they are grace gifts given by the Holy Spirit. They're not to be sought. They're not to be bought. They're not to be asked for. We're gifted by God to serve his church. It is his church, right? Yes. It's his church. What did Jesus say about that? Matthew 16, 18. He said, upon this rock I will do what? Build my church. Build my church. But can I give you a little insight here? He wants to build it through you and me. He wants to use us. 1989-90, I'm sitting in my office when I was in full-time evangelism, and for some reason, I don't know why I did it, I asked the Lord just to use me to the maximum in the days I had left. Little did I know what he was about to do. Here's the question. Can you trust him? Can you trust him? Say, here I am, Lord. You've gifted me. Too long, I said, I can't. I will. Where it's a speaking gift or a serving gift, quietly behind the scenes, it doesn't matter. It's all done to the glory of the Father. Everything about his is about his glory. You're gifted to serve, and you can. What's the scripture reference for that? Philippians 4:13, what does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if you say, I can't do that, that's contradicting to the scriptures. Is that right? You can do that. That's what I said for 9 years. I can't preach. And some people probably still say that today, and that's fine. That's okay. I'm doing the best I can with what I've got. I'm from West Texas, remember. You know, you got to give me credit. Can you do? When I surrendered, when I finally gave my life to what God wanted me to do, two verses I camped on. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. And folks, I'm telling you right now, from the time I did that in 1973 until now, he has done that. He has supplied every need I've already had. Now, I have some wants he hadn't provided, but that don't matter, does it? It's just the needs. And he's gifted you and wants to use you. Well, let's finish this. For the statement, whoever speaks or whoever serves, from the original text here, they are literally assumed as fact. They're assumed as fact. You're going to speak. You're going to serve. You're going to do that. Would you serve him? If by chance you've not yet discovered your gift, we'll help you do that. Be glad to help you do that, because every one of you have one. But since you know you have a gift, the Lord will use it if you'll let him employ it and do what you want to do. Now I want to leave you with an illustration, and I'm going to move up here. where you can see. John 13, Jesus comes to the upper room, and the disciples are around a table, and they've already had this discussion about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, amen? And Jesus, God incarnate, gets up from the table, and the scripture says he takes off his outer garment, and he humbles himself and began to wash feet. Takes the towel and the basin. There's Matthew. There's Mark. There's Peter. Does he wash Peter's feet? The denier? Yes, he does. And then there's John. And there's James. Who's the next guy? Judas? Does he wash the feet of Judas, the betrayer? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He washes his feet. Now, not to be morbid, but here's the master, the creator of the universe, deity, God incarnate, washing the feet of the disciples. Where have these feet been all day? Down a nasty, dirty road trodden by animals and everything else. Their feet are filthy. And our Lord, our Savior, the Prince of Glory, washes feet. Now I ask you this question. If Jesus will humble himself and wash the feet of Peter and Judas, the question to me and the question to you is, whose feet will we not wash? You say, are you speaking literally? Well, only you know that. If the Lord impresses you to wash someone's feet, then I'd suggest you do it. But basically, there's hundreds of ways to wash feet. Serving, changing. One church years ago had a sign above the door where the babies were, said, "We shall all be changed." Being biblical, right? Babies need changing. But let me tell you something about babies. I remember when Holly and Brent's twins were born. I had me a Baptist coastal spell at the hospital downtown. We had fought a battle. The Lord blessed us with babies after numbers of miscarriages and lost babies. And I've watched those girls grow. And I've watched their lives. And I've been able to make investment into them. And I've watched them and see them, what they're doing and what God wants to do with me in their lives and serving them. And they needed a touch when they were four. They needed their diaper changed when they were 4 months. But little kids like we have in the nursery and preschool on Sunday morning, can I tell you something about them? Before you can blink, they're going to be sixth graders. And before you can blink again, they're going to be in college. Are we going to take our gift and get into their lives and minister grace to them? Are we willing to say tonight, are we willing to take the towel as the flag of surrender and throw it in? Say, "Lord, here I am. What do you want with the rest of my days?" He'll use you in ways you cannot imagine if you yield to him. I trust you will. It's not a negative message. The most positive thing for me in the world is to get to serve the Lord, amen? To have that privilege and to do it in this place. God can use you here. Use your gift. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never have come to that place in your life to where you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not sure that you have that home in heaven. You're not sure that you have a spiritual gift. You need to figure that out and know that the Lord wants to touch your life tonight. You never confessed your sin. You never come before him asking him to be your Lord and Savior. You can do that tonight. There's some prayer partners that are here, and they're going to get up here just in a second, right now if they would, and head to this room right out this door. It's our friend room, prayer room, where you can go and meet with someone. And they will share with you the good news of the gospel. And listen to them very carefully. When you go, you're going to get two things that are very important. Number one, if you trust Christ, you're going to get a Savior that will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. And the other thing you're going to get is a gift to employ in His church for His glory. You're here tonight, and you're a believer, but you're not honestly serving. What are you willing to say? Here I am, Lord. We want to direct you. We want to help you. We want you to enjoy and have the glorious privilege of servanthood with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing better than knowing that you're doing what He's called you to. The most perfect place in the world for you to be is right in the center of God's will. If that's a nursery, be there. If that's preschool, be there. If that's being a greeter, be there. But first know Him, and then begin to grow in Him, knowing you have a gift, and you've got it for His glory. Do you know your gift tonight? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but do you know it? Tell somebody what your gift is. Share with them. Hank shared with me earlier tonight. He's a gift of teaching. He said, I can't do that anymore based on what's going on in my life. It's something I want to do. What's your gift? If you're saved, you have one. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's Word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.